This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Here we go. We are talking tight ends now on Fantasy Football Today. You know, a few weeks ago, maybe it was like a month or two ago, I said tight end is my favorite position. I will maybe have to defend myself on today's show. But we are talking tight ends now. Yesterday, as we did the quarterback preview, I mentioned at the top of the show that it was a great year. 2020 was a great year for quarterbacks. Well, they didn't exactly bring their tight ends along with them. The top five tight ends, other than the top two, Kelce and Waller, pretty lousy when you look at Tonyan, Logan Thomas, Hockenson being top five when they ordinarily would. But we've got three great analysts here to talk about the position. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, Heath Cummings. Your first assignment, guys, tell me how you feel about tight end in 10 words or less. Heath, go.
Tight end finally might not suck this year.
did you add too many ha's at the end there?
That was all one word. The ha's were all one word.
Okay.
Dave, it auto corrects to one word. The top six tight ends are great.
I hope that's true. Jamie, you're next.
I want to ban tight ends from fantasy forever now.
But they're my favorite position, Jamie. I love this strategy. I really do. Because, excuse me, and thank you for all indulging my illness. You know, you got the top six. And are we going to start with some stats? I have some stats that I'm going to throw at you. And you tell me what you think about them. But I love the strategy involved because we've coined sort of great or late. A lot of people are going to do that. If you don't get a top six guy, maybe a lot of people are just going to wait and see if they get some value. But I'm going to give you a stat, and I want everybody to give me a quick reaction. All right. In the last five seasons, rounds four through six, 21 tight ends have been drafted in rounds four through six. Only five of them finished top five. Two of those five were Kelce. I think Olsen in 2016, Waller last year, and there's one I'm forgetting. I think Ertz.
Andrews last year?
No, he was not in top five in PPR. I think he was sixth in PPR.
Oh, you're not doing points per game. Okay.
Not per game.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Really terrible stat.
It's not a terrible
Maybe,
stat, though.
Let's just try again.
It's only five out of 21 drafted in rounds four through six, finishing top five. And that's been a bit of a narrative, right? Remember we had the Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, O.J. Howard year. And then last year we had Ertz and Waller, who was awesome, and Andrews. I'm not sure if I'll check if there was another one in that group. Actually, I think Jared Cook was at the end of that group, believe it or not, according to ADP. Hasn't been a great spot for tight ends. So, Jamie, you were Dave, you were talking about the top six. But three of those top six, Pitts, Andrews, Hockenson, fall into the tight end dead zone, as some might call it. What do you think?
I think that there's still plenty of upside for the Andrews, Hockenson, Pitts tier to where they could fall off. They could disappoint us. There's no doubt about it. We've seen good numbers from Hockenson. We don't know what to expect from Pitts. We're all excited about him. Someone's going to be too excited about him on draft day and take him earlier than the rest of us. But I think Andrews has kind of proven it. And even if he wasn't top five last year, I don't know what he was on a per game basis last year. Finishes tight end six overall. That's still pretty good. I think that's well within the range of acceptable outcomes for a tight end that you take in rounds four through six is to finish as tight end six.
Yeah, but most of them don't. I mean, that, you know, and you don't get a lot of breakouts from that range. But Andrews was fourth per game, sixth overall in PPR. Anybody scared about that? Anybody scared about the recent history of these second-tier tight ends and how disappointing they've been?
You have to be scared, but, you know, I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, you just keep waiting.
No.
Right, you just draft them and you go late. You let other people take the chance on Pitts or on Hockenson, or if you don't love Andrews, someone else will take a chance on Andrews.
I guess if I have a pick at the 3-4 turn now, I should just take Andrews in the third, and then I won't have to worry about it.
That'll be fine. Yeah.
It'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely something to this. There have been, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying with my 10 words or less. It wasn't just a joke. Most years, we've come out and said, you know, we've got these young guys that have almost done it, and this is going to be the year. And for the most part, they've not done it. Hunter Henry and O.J. Howard and Evan Engram and Like, there's been a lot of those guys, and for the most part, they've failed. And as a result, for the most part, tight end's been terrible.
Yeah. And I guess I should clarify, it's not like everyone who hasn't been top five in that group has been terrible. You know, sometimes they're tight end eight. They didn't live up to their draft position, but they were okay. That's like
if you take tight end eight in round four through six, it was a bust.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't a completely useless player. Like some of them were like Zach Ertz last year, you know, but some of them were just top eight tight ends. Okay, anyway, here's our next stat. Jamie, I'll give this one to you. 15 tight ends have finished top five in PPR in the last three seasons. Okay, five times three. Here's where they were drafted. Five of them were drafted in rounds 2 to 3. One in round 4, one in round 6. Eight of them, 8 of 15, were drafted in rounds 12 or later. Is that amazing? Just more than half of the top five tight ends in the last 3 years were drafted in round 12 or later. What do you think?
I mean, you think about two guys last year with Logan Thomas and Robert Tonyan, which weren't drafted at all for the most part. So, you know, this is what we're talking about here. If you're concerned about the group of tight ends in rounds 4 through 6, you just wait it out and play tight end roulette, stream the position, and see what happens. You know, there's a lot of young tight ends or guys in good situations that you can get late, like Herb Smith and Adam Trautman. And if you like Jonnu Smith, Gerald Everett, you know, there's a lot of very interesting prospects at the position that you don't have to spend a pick in rounds 4 through 6. And those guys may be as good as those guys in rounds 4 through 6, not as proven as Andrews, not as maybe as much upside as Hockenson or Pitts, but certainly, you know, potential to be close to them or close enough to them that you'd want to wait the 5 or 6 rounds you can, you know, get other players before taking those guys. So that stat is probably more telling than the failures of the other guys. Because, you know, you factor in, like, you know, you mentioned Hunter Henry. You know, there was the year that we were talking about, I think 2 years ago, and he was injured. But when he played, he was good. But, you know, overall, his season was a disappointment because he missed, you know, time with the knee injury. So that you have to factor in. But I think, you know, if you're not going to get one of the top three guys, I've been saying this a lot, great or late, you can, you know, take a flyer on some guys that are in some really good spots with late round picks. And like Dave said, let somebody else take the three guys of Andrews, Hockenson, and Pitts.
And I do think that this stat, and I teased you a little bit with the first one, I think this one's really impacted by the fact that you used full season results and not per game results. Because last year in particular, George Kittle and Mark Andrews were both top five per game, but they got hurt or missed a game or two.
Yeah.
And so they weren't top five in the end of season results. And that caused some guys that were drafted really late who weren't actually that much better in like tight end or eight or 10, but they played 16 games and they ended up showing as top five.
Mike Gesicki was one of them. He finished 7th among tight ends. He had 154 PPR fantasy points over the course of the season.
Well, actually, the three guys last year, Jamie said two of them. The other one was Hockenson. It was Hockenson, Thomas, and Tonyan. They were all drafted in round 12 or later, according to fantasyfootballcalculator.com. Do I have to really say .com at this point? Probably not. According to www. Yeah. All right. So let's go to so basically, tight end is a position where you do have surprises in the top five very consistently. Guys who were drafted late or not drafted at all. So let's go to the next. So we have to try to find those guys. Let's go to the next stat here.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. And this is my favorite stat. In the last five seasons, Robert Tonyan last year is the only tight end who finished in the top five without being first or second on his team in targets. The only one. He had one of the luckiest tight end seasons you're ever going to see. Caught a ton of touchdowns. Had, I don't remember, like 65 targets or something.
79 targets.
79. All right. It's probably some Azer stat. I gave him 65.
Or 59. Maybe it's 59 targets.
Yeah. Okay.
It was 59 targets.
Okay. Yeah, 59 targets. He was only 3 targets away, actually, though, from being second on his team. So that stat, 5 years, Tonyan's the only one who finished top five without being first or second on his team in targets. That's huge to me. Targets matter so much at this position. So I think if you're looking late, you probably want to find someone who's going to get a lot of targets on his team. Do you guys, you know, agree with this premise? And now let's start talking about, and we'll get to, obviously later in the show, we'll talk about more late round picks, but who could fit that description of dominating targets on his team and sneaking into the top five?
Later guys or Hockenson guys?
No. You know, round 8, after the top 6.
The Patriots.
Oh, I mean, I think, and I just got through talking to him, but we're going to air this on Friday, but Pete Prisco's in New Orleans, and, you know, he said that almost, you know, every other pass was going to Alvin Kamara and Adam Trautman.
Yeah.
he said Kamara is going to have probably his best year ever catching the ball, which was
great to hear.
Troutman, he said, is looking every bit the guy we've been talking about. And, it's weird when you look at certain rank lists, I think, because I'll speak for my own, for example. I do have those three guys in the first six rounds after the top three, so Hockenson, Andrews, and Pitts. But then there's such a huge gap of when those other guys are ranked in the top 200. And, you may, like I have Irv Smith, I think I have Fant 7, Irv Smith 8, Troutman 9, something like that. And, but I'm not taking them in round 7, 8, 9, it's not like that's the spot they should go. I think if you can play it the right way and you can get, Smith, or you can get Troutman, or, Janu, or, I still hope Goddard loses Zach Ertz, and he could be in this category also, Adam. But Troutman to me is the one that, with Michael Thomas out to start the season, Traquan Smith now dealing with the hamstring injury, he's going to be in the top three in targets, or has a chance to be in top three in targets in his team. And he may be in top three in targets if those guys are healthy based on the reports you're hearing.
All right, so let's get into our general strategy discussion, when to take Travis Kelce.
But that happened, in regards to Logan Thomas last year, as we saw.
Yeah, I think he was second on the team in targets.
Yeah, it just took him a little while to get going. The first half of his year was just meh.
Did he have more than McKissick?
They were like neck and neck, but he must have been, or otherwise my stat is pretty messed up.
So I can't imagine that would have been true.
Please tell me how to screw this up. I think they may have been tied, to be quite honest with you.
It was like right around 100, right, for both of them?
Well,
I'll check.
We'll find out whose internet's going to load faster.
I think McKissick got 110. I don't remember how many Logan Thomas had.
They both had 110. I knew it. All right. The stat is legit. So you know what they say.
Adam, you were right.
Thank you, Heath. All right, listen. I want to tell you all about Grammarly. Grammarly Premium in particular. I have Grammarly Premium, and I use it. It is really, really good. Grammarly.com/FFT. That's our URL, Grammarly, which you should know how to spell it, right? Grammarly.com/FFT. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium. I struggled with that a little bit, huh?
You want to spell it again, maybe?
Grammarly.com/FFT. All right, what is Grammarly? Well, first of all, you write something, you have to proofread it. Takes a while. It's kind of annoying. It's a waste of time. Let Grammarly do it for you. They edit, they polish your writing. So for example, I think probably 10 people read this, but I wrote an article for the website during the NFL draft. It was about the Jets wide receivers because I get the best assignments. And when I finished writing the article, I honestly went on Grammarly Premium, uploaded it, got some suggestions, and Grammarly really cleaned it up, suggested some new vocab. One of the things that I think that I don't do well enough that Grammarly helped me is eliminated excess words just to make a stronger point, a clearer point, those types of things. Very, very helpful on Grammarly. So if you're writing something important, maybe you're in school and it's a paper, maybe you're presenting something at work, maybe it's just an important email, whatever it is, give Grammarly Premium a try. And it's gonna be quick, it's gonna be easy, and it's gonna be effective. Streamline your workload with seamless integration into Microsoft Office, your internet browser, your phone, and more, and cut down on editing time. That's a big deal. Write more confidently with Grammarly Premium. So get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/FFT. 20% off at grammarly.com/FFT. All right, let's go overall tight end strategy. Dave, kick it off.
I am looking for Travis Kelce toward the end of round one. If he slips to the beginning of round two, it's an absolute steal. If I don't pick in that range, I've got an early first round pick, then I'm looking for Waller or Kittle in late round two, early round three. I am going to prioritize them. I don't mind taking them at that value. I'm not trying to steal these tight ends. I'm going to get them at the ADP value. If I don't get them, yeah, I'll look for, depending on format, Hockenson, Andrews, Pitts. But I think someone will probably take Pitts before I do, and I'll go for one of those other two tight ends. But if I don't get any of those six, I'm just going to wait till late. You know, the greater late plan. That's what we're doing here. And if I go late, I'm going to draft two tight ends. And I like Troutman or Jonnu Smith to be one or both of them.
Okay. Heath, your strategy?
I'm always so bad at this. Something weird's happened in the last month. It's pretty much for me been Kelce in round one or Andrews in round four or five or Noah Fant in round 8-9.
Okay, that's great.
I have not found, because it just I'm not taking Kittle and Waller in round 2, and so it kind of has worked out to where if I don't take Kelce in the mid to late round 1, or if I do, if I'm there, I take him there. If I have the other pick, I'm not taking Waller and Kittle. So that's my strategy.
Jamie?
I tend to, you know, just jump around a little bit because I'm trying a lot of different things with our drafts. So, like, I'm in a draft, a Sports Illustrated draft right now where Kittle was there in round 3. It was easy to take him at that spot. I was picking 4th. So I started with Derrick Henry and Clyde Edwards-Helaire with my first 2 picks, and then I took – it's PPR draft. So I took Kittle in round 3.
This is great.
First time I think I've taken Kittle. I'm in I think we're all in the draft with Giants, which, you know, is a tight end premium league. And I took Darren Waller at 11 overall, you know, so I tend to just jump around with it. But I mean, I think, you know, Adam, we tend to fight for Hockenson in our drafts quite a bit. I was taking Dallas Goedert in that same range, you know, round or two later, but now that's not the same. And then, you know, same thing, wait, late. I take a lot of Tyler Higbee. You know, I think he's got a chance without Gerald Everett there, with Matthew Stafford there, to be one of those late round guys. Like, I think he's better than Jonnu personally. I think he's in a better spot. With that offense he's going to be in, with the run game being non-existent. And as Jacob Gibbs told us when he was on, I don't know, a month or so ago, what this offense was with their targets per routes run for their tight ends. And now there's no Gerald Everett there. So I think Higbee's got a chance to come nowhere close to what he was doing at the end of the 2019 season. That was never going to be a replicable situation. But he could be a borderline top 10 guy that you can get with your last pick. So he's somebody that I wait for a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, he's played 5 games in his career without Gerald Everett. I mean, technically, I think he's only played 2 or 3, but in the other games in that stretch, Everett played a combined 4 or 5 snaps. So he basically got benched. And in that stretch, Tyler Higbee had the best run in tight end history. That is not an exaggeration. He had 4 straight 100-yard games. I don't think anyone's ever done that. He might have 5, and no tight end has ever done that.
I think it was 5 of 80 or more yards.
Yeah, I think he had 4 straight 100-yard games. On the other hand, Matthew Stafford has never had an 800. This surprised me. Never had an 800-yard tight end. Best tight end was Brandon Pettigrew, or maybe Hockenson last year. But Pettigrew was 777 yards, 5 touchdowns. Hockenson 723 and 6 touchdowns. Best tight ends for Stafford.
Yeah, I don't think you should invest heavily in Tyler Higbee, but I think once you get past, you know, the top 10 or 11 guys, he's in that mix of 12 through 20. And again, you know, you've seen him produce at a high level. I'll go back to Jacob's stat. You know, when they let their tight ends run routes, they throw to them. At least Jared Goff did. So yeah. We'll see if Stafford does the same thing. The counter to that, though, is like you said, they've given Stafford 2 of the best tight end prospects in the NFL in the last, you know, 10 plus years, with when they drafted Eric Ebron and when they drafted TJ Hockenson, and they didn't exactly make those guys work.
This is also the same coaching staff that had a bird's eye view of Higbee when he broke out for that 5-game stretch, and then they really didn't do anything with it the whole season after.
Yeah.
Now they're going to turn to him when they've got Stafford.
Oh, I don't think he's doing that. You know, I know last year, Dave, you're really high on Higbee.
I loved him.
Build off that, but that was never going to be, you know, sustainable. It's just a matter of can he be 50 or 60 yards a game and the chance to score every couple of weeks? Then that's the type of guy you're looking for.
Yeah. I don't think he's that. I think if you're, and this is like, now we're talking about the types of tight ends. What are you looking for with those late round guys? You're looking for either a guy that can be first or second on his team in targets. I don't think that's going to be Higbee. Or you're looking for a guy that's going to routinely be part of the red zone mix. And I don't know if he's going to be a part of that either in Los Angeles.
Would you guys take Higbee or Troutman?
Troutman, easy.
I think I've got him right in the same range. I'll take Troutman just because of the potential for being first or second on his team in targets. I know how important that is.
It's very important.
He's on a team that leans on the tight end in the red zone. Well, 21 listen, touchdowns to tight ends the past 2 years in New Orleans.
It's important to finish top 5. It's not required to finish top 10. So, if you're someone who likes to swing
for
the fences.
I'm looking for someone who's got the upside to finish top 5.
Right, yeah, and you should be right. All right, does anybody change their strategy significantly in non or half PPR compared to full PPR?
No.
Not so much. I think one thing, though, that we probably need to do a better job of is 2 receiver leagues versus 3 receiver leagues, because a lot of industry leagues in our drafts are 3 receiver leagues, but still a lot of people play in 2 receiver leagues. And that, I think, changes things a little bit, because then the tight end becomes a little bit more prominent.
And Adam, we have to correct the greatest tight end stretch in NFL history. It was probably not Tyler Higbee. It was probably Travis Kelce.
But I don't think he's ever had four straight 100-yard games.
But he had more yards in his last four games last year than Higbee did in that stretch.
Yeah, but did he have four straight 100-yard games?
He only had 98 in one of them.
Oh, then it does not count.
Forget it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Two receiver leagues, you know, those top three tight ends for sure could be more prominent. So would you guys take Darren Waller or Justin Jefferson?
In a two receiver league?
Both.
Jinx.
Both.
In a two-receiver league, I would take Waller. In a three-receiver league, I would take Jefferson.
That sounds right.
I'm probably taking Waller either way.
When should Travis Kelce be taken? Let's talk about that. His ADP is ninth overall.
I'm good.
I usually start looking for him around seven.
Yeah, 6 to 9.
Nice.
Does that change in non-PPR? Is he a first-round pick in non-PPR?
Yeah, I don't think so.
9 to 11 in non-PPR.
Agree.
I'm going to let you guys take him then. I'll go on running back. If those catches don't count, his value drops a little.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at Kelce in non-PPR. Well, let's take him in half PPR. His best season per game was last year. I think he averaged 17.3 half PPR points per game. That's usually going to be a top five wide receiver. But it's usually going to be about running back 8 or 9 in half PPR. So knowing that in his best season last year, I don't know that that's worth a first round pick.
And this goes back to the value-based drafting earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Like Travis Kelce doesn't need to be the number one running back to be worth more than the number one running back.
No, but what if he's the number 8 running back and you take him in round 1, you know?
He's taking him 9 to 11, so there's probably 8 running backs going ahead of him.
Yeah, no wide receivers. Okay. All right, so...
He's still going to have a distinct advantage over most of the other players at the position.
So let's run through it in a full PPR league. McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, all ahead of Kelce.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd put Zeke and Aaron Jones ahead of him, too.
Yeah, I would, too.
I'd put Eckler ahead of him as well.
Okay. So that's the range. How about Waller and Kittle? First of all, do you all have Waller ahead of Kittle?
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Back to back, though.
Why?
For what we've been talking about, he's going to lead his team in targets. And, you know, Kittle is going to share probably the most he's been since he's become the star that he is. You know, he's so good with the ball in his hands. His yards after catch are fantastic. He's well aware of it, by the way, if you talk to him. but, I mean, if Ayuk and Debo are as good as they have been in each of their rookie seasons and can put that all together and everybody's healthy with what they do running the ball, he's not going to see anywhere close to the amount of targets that Darren Waller is, or at least shouldn't.
Waller is
by far the best player on his team, and he's the best pass catcher on his team. And so, you know, while you can say whatever you want about how good Trey Lance may be, you know Derek Carr is leaning on Darren Waller as much as he can.
And, right. And I think that Kittle has – you have to – like, not that this is a big factor, but you have to consider Kittle more of an injury risk. And you have to consider that Waller has more touchdown upside. Nobody in San Francisco ever scores more than 5 touchdowns.
And somebody who's going to start scoring more touchdowns and taking them away from the pass catchers there could be Lance when he does get in there because he runs a little bit. And we're hearing all sorts of amazing things about Trey Lance in camp. There's no guarantee that he's going to just come in and be the most accurate passer in the history of football. He's probably going to miss some throws to all of his receivers, and that'll drive down the numbers overall for Kittle, for Ayuk, for Debo. So, I think that kind of summarizes it, why Kittle is a clear number 3.
I'm a little nervous for all the reasons we just mentioned. He's such an incredible player, but he's so physical. Gets hurt. Like, you look at his game log, he's played a lot of games except for last year. But he's more, like he said, more injury prone. But I just think Trey Lance is going to be bad for him. And I don't know if or when Trey Lance takes the field. But I think it's going to be bad for him. And also, if you look at the pass attempts in the 4 seasons under Shanahan, they really haven't had a good defense in any except for 1 year, and that was the Super Bowl year. And they barely threw. So if their defense gets better, and really it should, it'd be shocking if it didn't. With all they lost last year, I think the pass attempts are down. I think Lance means fewer passing yards because he's going to run so much, and he's a rookie with hardly any college experience. So I don't want to alarm people. I haven't taken any George Kittle. I'm nervous about him. I can't pass up a top 10 wide receiver for Kittle. You know, are you guys are probably more confident than I am. So talk me off the ledge, I guess.
I think with, you know, again, Kittle, it's what he does with the ball in his hands. He's still going to be the target leader on the team. That's a Shanahan thing. I don't think that's going to necessarily be, you know, Trey Lance improvising and going away from that. I'm sure they're going to beat it into his head. You know, that's your first look in probably most cases, more times than not. The problem with Kittle is, you know, and this speaks to what you were saying, Adam, he's probably the best tight end in football for what the position typically is, because I think he's a better blocker than Travis Kelce. I don't think that's a knock on Kelce's game. Kelce's a better receiver. But his overall game doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy the way Kelce's game translates to fantasy, because you've seen it, you know, what Kelce is able to do. So I think Kittle comes down to cost. I don't want to draft Kittle in the second round. And in some cases, I don't want to take him to the middle of the third. And it goes to, you know, I think the two receiver, three receiver league, the league where I told you the Sports Illustrated draft that I'm doing, it's a two receiver league with two flexes. So I don't have to play, you know, I don't have to, you know, worry about drafting three receivers. So I took Kittle in the third round as what to me was a no-brainer. And it's PPR. So if it's a three receiver league and, you know, you're staring at AJ Brown or maybe DK Metcalf or, you know, if you're Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, those group of wide receivers that are going to be in the early third, if you are inclined to go receiver there, those guys probably have more upside in PPR than George Kittle does this year. And so it's just a matter of how you want to go about building your team. Kittle's going to be probably the buffer. You know, he's like the mini bridge. I think Kelce's the lead guy. Waller's the second guy. Then there's a bridge. And I think Kittle's ahead of the next group, probably by a good margin, but he's still behind, I think, Waller and Kelce based on what the upside is.
Okay. How do you guys rank tight ends 4 through 6?
PPR, I've got Hockenson at the top. Andrews after him, Pitts after him. And then if it's non-PPR, and I haven't decided in half, but I probably half PPR, I'll put Andrews ahead of Hockenson.
Okay. So, Heath, how about you?
Yeah, I've got Andrews and then a gap, and then I go back and forth on Hockenson and Pitts, but they are – it's the same 4, 5, 6. But I do have Andrews a pretty decent amount ahead of Hockenson and Pitts.
All right, let's talk about that. So you're the Andrews guy, and ADP in half PPR has obviously those three are grouped together. It's Andrews, it's Pitts, Andrews, Hockenson, but they're all in round 5. All right, so
that's not surprising, by the way.
Make your case for Andrews, Heath.
Well, and I know what's happened in the past is no guarantee to keep happening, but I don't think anything's happened in Baltimore that's going to change the fact that Mark Andrews is Lamar Jackson's number one option in the passing game, especially with this rocky start to training camp with Jackson not being there and with the receivers taking time, missing time. And Andrews in his good year was really almost a part of that top big three. And he took a step back last year and he was still a point and a half per game better than TJ Hockenson. So the Pitts argument, I don't really have a good one other than I'm only willing to push a rookie tight end so much higher than I've ever drafted a rookie tight end. And maybe Kyle Pitts will just make me look stupid, but I'm currently projecting him to have the greatest rookie tight end season that has existed since I've been playing fantasy football, and I'm too low on him. So I'm just not going to get him, and I've come to terms with that. With Hockenson, it's just I'm not projecting the same type of leap in either efficiency or volume that he would need to get on Andrew's level.
Okay, and then if you guys want to... Jamie, why don't you make the case for Hockenson over Mark Andrews?
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily efficiency will be better, but I do expect the volume to be better. You know, and that's something that... I mean, you've heard me say this time and time again. That's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on this receiving corps to be as terrible as it looks on paper with Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman. And Williams is already banged up to begin with. Now DeAndre Swift is banged up to begin with. You know, so Amon-Ra St. Brown might have some very, very, you know, big upside if he can sneak in there as the number one receiver. But this just is a terrible group. And you're already hearing positive things of Jared Goff leaning on TJ Hockenson. Why wouldn't he? It just makes the most sense that that's his best playmaker. So he may not be the most efficient tight end. He may have some flaws, as we've seen in the couple of seasons that he's played. And let's be clear. He was injury prone his rookie season. So he's got to, you know, prove that that is significantly behind him. But I just think he's going to be the target leader on this team. And that's proven to be a very good situation for a tight end stepping forward and having big stats. So I think he'll have more catches than Andrews. I love Mark Andrews. You know, I hate when we have this conversation because it always sounds like Heath doesn't like Hockenson and I don't like Andrews. And I hate that because I think we both like both guys. And for me, it's close. You know, I know, Heath, you said there's a big margin between Andrews and Hockenson. I get that. I think it's close in PPR. I think Andrews is better in non-PPR because he's just scored more touchdowns. But if everybody is healthy in Baltimore, while Lamar Jackson should still lean on Andrews the most, he now has other guys that are playmakers. They're not Willie Snead and Miles Boykin. Rashad Bateman is a much better prospect than those two guys and a much better player probably than they were a year ago. And Sammy Watkins, whenever he's on the field, is going to be better than those guys. And so with Marquise Brown being there, now Brown is out for any way to start the season, I'll put Andrews ahead of Hockenson for sure, because then you're still you're relying on these new guys to come in and make plays, and the one reliable receiver is not there. But if Marquise Brown is back soon, I'll keep it the way it is, and Andrews is still a great player. I certainly would love to have him on a lot of my fantasy teams, but I'm going to take Hockenson over him in PPR.
And Dave, why don't you make the case for the people? I know you don't believe this, but the people are taking Kyle Pitts ahead of Andrews and Hockenson. So why are they doing that? You know, make the optimistic case for Kyle Pitts as the fourth tight end.
Well, let's start with what his size is. Okay, he is 6'5" and 5'8", so basically 6'6" tall. That's like a small forward in the NBA. He's 245 pounds. He runs a 4.44 40. He's got a wingspan of about 84 inches. His hands are 10 5/8 inches wide. That is humongous. I compare that with Calvin Johnson. He's within an inch of the height of Calvin Johnson, 6 pounds away from Calvin Johnson, less than a tenth of a second slower than Calvin Johnson. And he's got 1 3/8 inches bigger hands than Calvin Johnson. And you can use him as a tight end. He fits into an Atlanta offense that is now being schemed by a guy who constantly utilized his tight ends in Tennessee. And he's got a quarterback in Matt Ryan who should have decent enough protection to find him the football accurately on both short, mid-range, and deeper throws. When he was at Florida, he averaged a touchdown every 3.6 catches last year, looked like a man playing among boys. He's not going to look quite that way in the NFL, but would it really surprise you if he caught a touchdown every 6.3 receptions in the NFL? All right, maybe yes. Even once every 8.3 receptions in the NFL. It could be whatever, but I think that he's got this unbelievable upside. Not because he's your typical traditional tight end. Jamie talked about George Kittle being the best all-around tight end. Kyle Pitts isn't in Atlanta because of his blocking prowess. He is a wide receiver on the Calvin Johnson size speed level who's playing at a tight end in fantasy football. And that's what gets people pumped up. You tack on the fact that Atlanta's run game, I know they got Mike Davis. We'll see what that is. Their defense, I know there's been reports about their defense playing better. I bet their defense isn't going to be that good. They're going to throw a lot. And I think Arthur Smith has made it clear he loves to adapt to the strengths of his players, and he adapts to what the game calls for. And I think you're going to see Atlanta throw a lot, maybe not quite as much as last year, close to it. And Kyle Pitts will either be the first or second best target in that offense. He's going to be tough to defend, and people are going to be very excited about him, and they will reach for him in that round four range, and maybe even in tight end premium leagues. I'm getting excited. Round three. And in dynasty leagues, it'll be even higher than that because they see a long-term future, a guy that could just completely reform the tight end position all by himself. He could be the next Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And so people get excited. They'll take him a little bit sooner, but I still feel like the majority of fantasy managers are going to be happy to take him if he falls in that round five-ish range.
Yes.
But there's going to be two or three people in every league. They're going to go after him in round four.
Go, Heath. Go.
Yes, I think Dave did an excellent job of making the people's case and really got into it. There were two things that I just want to object to. I think Dave might have said that Kyle Pitts might be better than Calvin Ridley this year.
No,
I don't. Oh, I thought you said he could be their first or second.
First or second in targets. Yeah.
So you could have more targets than Calvin Ridley?
I think there's a chance for it to happen. Yes. I'm not going to sign my name to that. If Calvin misses a couple of games, it's going to happen.
Oh, well, we're not going to play that game. Nobody's going to expect that.
Well, what are we? Okay, fine. So he'll be second on the team in targets.
Yeah, second on the team in targets.
And that's what we're looking for from tight ends.
Right.
I am not confident that he will be second on the team in targets, but I think that people believe that for sure. The other thing that Dave said, something that the Kyle Pitts backers definitely say, and it's about Arthur Smith. It's two things. One, that he's shown the ability to adapt to the weapons he has. I've only seen him use Derrick Henry as a battering ram. Like, he may very well adapt this year, but he's not shown us that ability
yet. You didn't see AJ Brown or Jonnu Smith or Ryan Tannehill?
Jonnu Smith, well,
never had, certainly not with Jonnu.
Jonnu never had 500 yards, you know?
Right.
Like,
that was the second
Jonnu's
thing.
Jonnu's a unicorn. Everybody's chasing a unicorn with Jonnu.
Yeah.
Nobody in the 2 years that Arthur Smith was calling plays, no tight end had more than 65 targets in a season. If that's what happens with Kyle Pitts, then he's the biggest bust on the face of the earth.
But they also barely threw the ball. I mean, I guess that would be the other thing, right?
Well,
the Falcons the thing should throw the ball.
Also, if
you're looking at trends, then that's what Arthur Smith wants to do. You know, now, does he have the horses to do it? That's the bigger question, because he doesn't have a Derrick Henry. So is he going to adapt to what he has around him? That's the thing you got to figure out. Is he going to lean into Matt Ryan and lean into Calvin Ridley and lean into Kyle Pitts and say, we'll run when we have to run, but I don't think Mike Davis is going to be the thing that helps us get back to the playoffs. I don't think anybody thinks that. Why would you draft Kyle Pitts? Would you draft him?
Jonnu had 65 targets. Firkser had 53 targets. I can go down the list. Jeff Swain.
Hayden Hurst
totaled for 20.
But they're going to throw a lot more than the Titans did.
I think that's the key to it all.
He's going to be the most interesting. I'm saying he's the most interesting man in fantasy.
I don't want to be anti Kyle Pitts at all. I think the things Dave said about Kyle Pitts are all completely 100% true. It's the stuff about his situation and the stuff about whether we should just ignore everything that's ever happened with any other rookie tight end that I struggle with.
Okay. Well, we're going to look at ADP past the top six in a bit. We'll do some sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Going to remind you, all of you want more salary cap draft. You call them auctions, salary cap draft. Talk. Well, we're going to have a live one for you on the YouTube channel, Fantasy Football Today, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So hit the subscribe button, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. We will see you Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern for a salary cap mock draft. And we're going to take the audio. If you miss it, we'll take the audio. We're going to make it a podcast next Sunday, I believe. Break coming up. When we come back, sleepers, breakouts, busts, and the rest of average draft position after the top six on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, here we go. Your favorite sleeper tight end. Jamie, we'll start with you. We'll go Jamie, Dave, Heath. Favorite sleeper tight end.
You know, it's a strange position because prior to Michael Thomas going down, it would have been easy to say Adam Troutman, but he's not a sleeper anymore. He's just everybody's too well aware of him. And I think the same thing with Irv Smith. So it's hard to put those guys in that category. So I'll go back to Tyler Higbee. I think you're just getting him at a good price for a guy that has shown you the ability to be a star, has a chance, I think, to be a little bit of a difference maker without Gerald Everett there. And you know what? I'll give you two. I'll give you Gerald Everett as well. I just think both those guys leaving each other is going to be good for their situation, especially for Everett, following a guy that he knows with Shane Waldron, who's with the Rams.
All right, Higbee and Everett. Dave, you're next.
I agree about Troutman. He's more of a breakout at this point than a sleeper. I still think Jonnu is a sleeper. You can find him late on draft day. Patriots gave him a ton of money this year. He was the first big free agent signing that they had. I think they're looking for a move tight end, a guy that can use his athleticism to combat mismatches downfield. We saw him as a big-time red zone threat for Tennessee. I think he picks that up with the Patriots. And I bet he improves his route running and his route tree in New England. And when they do decide to throw, and I think they'll throw certainly a little bit more this year than they did last year, especially once Mac Jones gets in there, I think Jonnu has a chance to be their number one target getter this year. I love the upside with Jonnu Smith.
I agree with that. Like when Adam was talking about the teams that, or players that could be the number one target on their team, I think either Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith could fit into that. It's funny. I was looking at CBS ADP because I was trying to decide who's a sleeper and who's a breakout. I think Tyler Higbee in CBS ADP is now inside the top 100. And Adam Troutman's like tight end 18. Jonnu Smith is five spots behind Hunter Henry in round 13. So I'm gonna use that. And this is not true in the best ball drafts or the NFC ADP we normally use, but CBS drafters are kind of acting like I did for most of the offseason with Logan Thomas, just pretending like, well, there's no chance he can ever do that again. He's behind Mike Gesicki, Eric Ebron, and most of the other guys that we've talked about, especially Higbee. He's just dominating the Washington defense in training camp right now. And it's stupid to call a guy who finished top five last year a sleeper. But if he's being drafted in the 12th round after he finished top five last year, I don't know what else you call him. You can't call him a breakout. He just did it.
Well, yeah, it's that CBS ADP?
It is.
Yeah. Fantasy Pros has him in the 8th round as the 9th overall tight end, Logan Thomas. So would you take him there?
I could all, like, if I want, you want to go deeper, I'll just say OJ Howard.
No, I'm just asking, do you think Logan Thomas is okay as the 9th tight end off the board?
I think I have him 10th.
Okay.
So that's by fine. That, no. Let's just say OJ Howard, because he's not on our ADP and he's like tight end 20 by everybody else's. Like he's got to be 100% healthy and he's not quite there yet. I think he's practicing every other day right now, but he's off the pup. And I believe Jamie said that Pete was talking about how much they really like him there in Tampa and how they're going to go to more two tight end sets this year. And he was actually outperforming Gronk last year before he got hurt. I think there's a chance he's the best tight end in Tampa Bay and a top 12 tight end this year just based on touchdowns.
Gronk is tight end 10 right now in Fantasy Pros half PPR ADP. That reminds me of Jared Cook last year a little bit. Not quite as early as Cook was going, but.
Please don't ever say Rob Gronkowski reminds you of Jared Cook, ever.
I would never insult Jared Cook like that. All right, favorite breakouts. We'll flip it back. Heath, Dave, Jamie. Go ahead, Heath.
Now I don't have to worry about ADP at all. I'll go with, this will shock everyone, but I'm going to say Noah Fant. Fant played 12 games, complete games, with a quarterback last year and averaged right around 11.5 PPR fantasy points per game. That would have been 5th on a per-game basis last year. I feel pretty confident he's going to have better quarterback play than he did last year, either because Drew Lock improves, which we shouldn't rule out, or because Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback, which is what will happen if Drew Lock doesn't improve. There have been lots of raving about Fant and how they're going to use him more in motion and moving him into the slot this season. Cortland Sutton's slowly getting back to himself, but they gave a lot of targets last year to Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler and Deshaun Hamilton. There's plenty of targets for Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Noah Fant to be a big three.
Dave, you're up.
I'm going to say Troutman. I just love the size, speed matchup. And it's not like great speed, but it's good speed for a tight end. When he ran routes last year, I thought he looked crisp. He was able to make cuts. It was nice to see. Saints have utilized tight ends more in the red zone than overall, but they need help. They need targets at this point. And here's a big one in Troutman in his second year in this offense, should know what he's doing, and a clear path to a full amount of snaps each game. Would be stunned if he played below 75% of the snaps week in and week out. And if Jameis Winston's the quarterback, nearly a third of his career touchdowns have gone to tight ends. We've been talking about this for years. Jameis leans on his tight end. Here's a humongous one that can move, that is in an offense that needs targets downfield. I think, where was he in the CBS ADP, Adam Troutman? 18th among tight ends, you said, Heath?
I was doing some quick counting, but it was in that range.
It was not in the top 12.
And for sure not.
I'm drafting him as a top 10 tight end.
And I even looked in the last like 5 days because, you know, since the Michael Thomas injury, I thought maybe it would be a lot higher, but he's 15th since August 1st. Troutman's 15th, still behind Mike Gesicki and Evan Ingram.
I think Dave and Jamie are officially the Adam Troutman guys.
Actually, that's only because I don't have rankings. Otherwise, so maybe I'd be the Adam Troutman guy.
We're the Adam Troutman podcast then.
But not you?
I'll just not talk.
Not you?
There's a lot of people in the industry like Adam Troutman. This is nothing new. He's been very popular since, you know, Jared Cook left. But, you know, again, it's a matter of now you look at the Saints offense and you say, okay, who's going to catch the ball? And is it Tre'Quan Smith with the hamstring injury? You know, Pete was saying that Marcus Callaway had a great day today. And I said to him, well, who else is there? And that's when he said, well, Kamara and Troutman were having a big day too. So, you know, Troutman, I think, just has that potential to be the next Colby Fleener. Yeah, that's never been a bad
deal. Yeah, all right. There you go. So who's your breakout, Jamie? Is it Troutman?
I'll go Irv Smith. You know, I think you saw, you know, he stepped up when Kyle Rudolph was gone last year, dealing with the injury. A good red zone target. You're already seeing, you know, positive reports from Vikings camp that they're not going to, you know, really have a third receiver to speak of, which makes sense. You know, D.D. Westbrook was the guy that they brought in, and he's going to play more of a special teams role. So it's hard for him to get the target share that he's going to need to be, I think, a top five guy. So I think you just have to keep that in perspective. Like, I think both Troutman and Fant have a higher ceiling if they hit. But I would not be surprised if Irv Smith is a better version of Robert Tonyan, where he gets, you know, 8+ touchdowns, gets more targets, gets more opportunity to put the ball, to do things with the ball. But he's not going to be a big catch and yards guy. He's going to be a touchdown guy.
Nearly a quarter of his targets, overall targets last year, came in the red zone. And he was unstoppable. Like, they schemed him up so well inside the 10 last year, just crossing routes, short stuff. He was wide open every single time.
Yeah, Irv Smith, going later than I thought, he is, well, we'll get to, let's see, where is Irv Smith? I'll tell you in a minute. Oh, he's in round 12. He's after Tonyan and Higby and Gesicki. I don't really understand Gronk, Gesicki, ahead of Higby. And
it's names, you know. That's what people, yeah, you know, tend, like, to gravitate toward.
What has Gesicki done, you know? I mean, Chris Gesicki, I'm just going to nominate him as a bust. If you look at his splits the last two seasons, listen to this. When Preston Williams has been in the lineup or out of the lineup, it's basically been like nothing with Preston Williams and a lot or a decent amount without Preston Williams. Now it's not Preston, it's Fuller and Waddle. You know, it's a big difference. It's not just Preston Williams. I don't know. I never drafted.
He may not play a lot. That's the problem. Because right. He's another guy that's not a blocker. You know, he's not an inline tight end.
Right.
And so, you know, you could see him off the field a lot, you know, with Shaheen probably playing a bigger role. So it's hard to justify drafting Mike Gesicki, barring an injury. But then again, you got Jalen Waddle, who couldn't play last year because of an ankle injury. Will Fuller is a walking injury. So if either of those two guys go down, potentially both, then Gesicki's going to be a good waiver wire target. But that's really what he should be. He should be a waiver wire target. Shouldn't be somebody that you're looking at and saying, this is somebody I want to have on my fantasy team to start the season, unless he's the second guy, just in case.
All right, so then let's go through the bus.
What round is Gesicki being drafted in, Adam?
9th.
You're a coward. Oh, you're a coward, though.
What do you mean?
Like a round 9 bust.
Well, he's a top 12 tight end.
He shouldn't be drafted.
He's a top 12 tight end. My bust is George Kittle.
Three tight end last year is a sleeper. So
my bust is George Kittle. So, you know, nobody's got a higher end bust than that. But okay. Anyway, let's get the real experts on. Who are your busts? Dave, you can kick it off.
As tempted as I am to make the case for Noah Fant, I won't do it. I will make the case for Logan Thomas as the bust. He finishes tight end 5 in PPR points per game last year. It was on the strength of these short area targets, these little dump off passes from Alex Smith. Think about this. He ranked 3rd among tight ends in targets, but his average depth of target was 7 yards. That was tied for 18th among tight ends. His per game average for targets was 6.9. And now he's got Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in under center. The football team added Curtis Samuel, Maybe they've got something with the rookie Brown that they've got. They want to include Gibson in their passing a little bit more. Fitzpatrick has never really gotten great numbers out of his tight end. We bring up Mike Gesicki last year. That was actually the second best season a tight end has had with Ryan Fitzpatrick over his career. I've checked that. It was 2019 Gesicki, not even 2020 Gesicki. 45 catches, 535 yards, 5 touchdowns. I'm nervous that Logan Thomas will take a step back in targets and a step back in overall production.
His yards per target was terrible, but I don't know if that was just because of Alex
Smith. He just
got
force-fed the ball a ton, and it happened a lot down the stretch last season.
All right, Heath, bust.
Well, who else is being drafted in round 9?
Gronkowski. Gronkowski's got to be a bust in round 9, right?
No, I'll do it. I'll do it. Like, the most likely bust is Kyle Pitts. Oh. And I don't like it, but there have been 2 tight ends since I started playing football 23 years ago that have scored at least 160 PPR fantasy points in their rookie season. They scored 173 and 171. It was a pair of Giants, Jeremy Shockey and Evan Engram. Kyle Pitts doesn't even play for the Giants.
Damn right.
If he scores 170 fantasy points this year, you're not quite getting the value you're paying for in round 4. He needs to have the greatest tight end rookie season ever just to justify his ADP. You're not necessarily profiting if he does that. It's just to be worth what you paid for. That's not the type of bets that you should make in fantasy football. You should not bet on someone needing to break records to justify the cost you're paying for him.
When do you think that you'd feel okay taking him?
Well, I'm not taking him until round 7, but it doesn't, like, it's that the whole thing is I might reach for him occasionally at the end of round 5, early round 6, just to make sure I had some Kyle Pitts if that was an option. It's just never even something I get to consider.
Yeah. Okay. Jamie, bust.
I was going to say Pitts, which pains me, obviously, as a Gator. But I think it just makes the most sense. Adam, give me the ADP again.
All right, here we go. Kelsey, 9th overall. Waller and Kittle, 26th and 27th. Round 5, we have Pitts, Andrews, and Hockenson.
Jamie, say it. Travis Kelsey, bust.
Noah Fant, round 7. Dallas Goedert, round 7.
That's the one right now. You know, and I hate it because I have so much optimism for him if they can shake loose of Zach Ertz somehow. But if Ertz is there, you can't take him that high.
Right.
He had 5.7 targets per game with Ertz and without Ertz last year. No red zone targets, by the way.
No, he had no games with Ertz and no Ertz.
With Ertz, no Ertz.
That never happened for Goddard.
What do you mean that didn't happen for Goddard?
Ertz he played 2 games with Jalen Ertz.
No, he played 3 games with Jalen Ertz, and Ertz played in all 3 of them.
Okay, fine. So Ertz was there. Yeah. 5.7 targets
and no Ertz.
This conversation hurts my ears.
I can give you the breakdown.
So bad.
He didn't really have that great of a season, but
when I rent a car, I go to.
So in the first 3 starts for Hurts, we won't count the Washington game because Goddard didn't play. Rager actually led the team in targets with 19, and then Ertz and Goddard both had 17. Greg Ward had 13. Travis Fulgham had 5. I don't know about the running backs, but that's how it was. Goddard played 4 games without Zach Ertz. The first game was his first game back from injury. He had 1 catch on 1 target. The next game, 33 yards. And then the 2 after that without Zach Ertz. And this is where you get optimistic. 77 yards and a touchdown at Cleveland. 75 yards and a touchdown against Seattle. So that's 2 huge games out of 4 without Zach Ertz. Obviously,
I think in the first 2, because Goddard got hurt in the 3rd start that Hurts made. In the first 2 starts, he had 14 targets in those games. So, you know, that's encouraging. If you tell me he's getting 7 targets a game from Jalen Hurts, I'm thrilled with that. I'll take my chances with the inconsistencies, but if that's going to be the average, that's fine. But I just don't see it being realistic if Zach Ertz is there in 100%.
Right.
The plus side of Goddard, he was still a top 10 tight end with Ertz 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, in total points. So they can coexist, but I don't think they can coexist with Jalen Hurts.
All right, so let's see what stands out as we take a look at average draft position. I'll just repeat it. Kelsey, 9th. Waller, 26th. Kittle, 27th. Pitts and Andrews and Hockenson in round 5. Noah Fant in round 7. I know, Heath, you'd be cool with that, right?
Yeah, I think I actually have him in round eight, but I have Hawkinson and Pitts in round seven. So I just don't like, I don't want to draft a tight end in round four through six because I know that that's a dead zone.
I'm just saying it has been.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I mean,
Adam, you were right.
I know, but I actually do draft Hawkinson a lot. And, you know, I do draft those tight ends. I'm willing to overlook what's happened the last few years. Plus, Waller was there the last year. They're not all bad in that range. All right, then after that, we got Logan Thomas. Oh, Dallas Goedert in round seven. Everybody like Fant over Goedert at this point?
Yes.
I just made the change.
Fant over Goedert. Logan Thomas, round eight. Gronk Gesicki in round nine.
Just gross.
Yeah.
Oh, they're round nine, Heath. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Higbee, round 10. We haven't talked about Robert Tonyan, who's tight end three last year. Tonyan, round 10. Higbee or Tonyan?
I mean, that's the most obvious bust call there is.
Yeah. The luckiest year ever. How many touchdowns did he have?
10.
On 59 targets. I think he had the highest catch rate in football with a minimum of 40 targets, but still.
I think he had 11 touchdowns last year.
Crazy. All right.
10.5 PPR points per game.
It gets kind of interesting after that. Irv Smith, Jonnu Smith, Evan Ingram. We haven't mentioned Evan Ingram. You know, last year he was terrible, but the first three years of his career, he was at worst 7th per game in PPR, 9th per game in non-PPR. Galladay's got a hamstring injury, should be ready for week one.
He's not a bad gamble as a second tight end to draft.
Right. But
this is why, though, it's late, because like we could rattle off 17 names between tight end 10 and tight end 25. And they're probably all within 20 points in the projections. And one of them's going to score 8 touchdowns, and that one's going to be good.
And the ones that you're going to gravitate toward are the ones we've already talked about, you know, Herb Smith and for whoever it is, Jonnu Smith. Troutman. Oh, yeah, I forgot he's in this group now. Well, I mean, where's his ADP?
It's low.
It's very low.
Yeah.
But
the world hasn't caught up to Adam Trautman yet.
Oh, there it is. All right. So after Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry. Why is everybody on her? Well, I guess, look, they're going very similarly.
You should look at their career stats page.
I know. Why is everybody on Smith over Henry? I can't say that. I guess I'm exaggerating because they're only two spots apart in average draft position, but I do think most people are on Jonnu over Henry.
Well, Henry hasn't played 16 games yet in his career.
And still has better stats than Jonnu Smith every year.
He might, and that's a lot because of the touchdowns that he's pulled in. He's pulled in a lot of touchdowns over the course of his
career.
And
the yards.
What?
And the yards.
Catches in the yards.
Look, I get...
He has 13 games with over 70-plus yards. I don't think Jonnu has quite that many, but no. I think I'm projecting with Jonnu. I think that Jonnu does get more games with 70 yards than Hunter Henry does. He's a healthier, more explosive tight end that the Patriots can find mismatches with. And if you don't believe it, then Hunter Henry should be one of your last two picks.
What do you think the age difference is?
Oh, I don't think it's that far off.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
a year?
I don't know.
John, I think the thing with years,
you know, first off, like Dave made a point that I think a lot of people use in defense of Jonnu Smith, that he signed the deal first.
They actually got the same amount of money.
Henry signed one day later. You know, it could have been semantics. Henry might have been their first phone call. We don't know. You know, Henry talked about how he was excited to be playing with Jonnu. I'm sure Jonnu feels the same way. Once upon a time, they had very good tight end duo, so it would be nice to see if they can do that again. The problem is with both these guys, they're going to be on such a low-volume passing offense. So while one may lead the team in targets and be the type of tight end that we look for in this range, I don't know how many targets that guy's going to get by comparison to a guy who's maybe third or fourth on his team in targets, you know, on a different team that has more volume.
So I just looked it up. Hunter Henry is just less than 1 year older than Jonnu Smith. They've both played 4 seasons in the NFL. Hunter Henry's worst year in terms of yards is 478. Jonnu Smith's best year in terms of yards is 448.
Henry has had trouble staying healthy, but to be fair to him, last year he stayed healthy, just had COVID. He missed 2 games with COVID. He did not miss any games with an injury. All right, I'm going to move on to the next group here and tell me if you find yourself drafting any of these guys. Jared Cook, Anthony Firkser, Zach Ertz, or Gerald Everett?
Only in tight end premium leagues except for Everett, who I think is a good second tight end to look at as well. This is another team in Seattle that if they're going to change things and incorporate a third pass catcher, he's going to be the third pass catcher. Now, again, to what heights, I don't know. I don't think he's worth drafting as a number one tight end or your only tight end on your team. But if he's, you know, in the group of guys, I think that are probably a few rounds ahead of him, he should be in the group that's a few rounds ahead of him because of his familiarity with the coordinator now and what his potential role could be. So I'm a little excited about Jared. Not hugely excited, but if I am inclined to take two tight ends and I miss on, you know, somebody that has a higher ceiling, I think he's in that next group of guys.
I think he qualifies as a tight end that you might be able to draft. And if after 1 or 2 weeks, like a streaming tight end, like if you just take him in the first couple of weeks and you don't like what you're seeing, he's easy to just cut and move on from and, you know, find whatever tight end did better in the first couple of weeks of the season. He should be a middle of the field option for Russell Wilson. If Wilson is trying to get rid of the ball quickly every single play, that's a good place for Everett to be. We know he's more of a move tight end, not a blocking tight end. I think Jamie said it best. He could end up being third in targets among the Seattle Seahawks players. You just don't like the lack of involvement when he was in LA. He had 8 touchdowns in 4 seasons.
Okay, and let's see. We've got almost Tebow. We're almost at Tebow. Blake Jarwin, interesting. Hooper, Akins, O.J. Howard.
Yeah, Jarwin is so interesting because
is he even the best guy? Yeah.
Dalton Schultz is?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well, Schultz is going super late. Might need an injury to one of the receivers for them to be fantasy relevant, but
I don't really know that that's for sure true, because the past 2 years, I think Jason Witten and Dalton Schultz have both finished top 13 at tight end. If Blake Jarwin could be, like a year ago, everybody definitely thought Blake Jarwin was better than Schultz and Witten. If Blake Jarwin could just be more efficient and get the same targets those two guys did over the past 2 seasons, he's probably a top 10 tight end. We just don't know if he's all the way back. It might be Schultz's job.
How about Cole Kmet or Tim Tebow? Yes, that's an ADP. Hayden Hurst, Eric Ebron.
Kmet's the one you hope. It's just that Jimmy Graham is still there in the way, and Cole Kmet out-targeted Jimmy Graham by like 20 targets over the last month of the season last year, and Jimmy Graham scored double the fantasy points because he scored all the touchdowns.
Okay, we've got, I don't know. I mean, Kyle Granson, Dan Arnold, there was a report about him connecting with Sam Darnold, Pat Freiermuth.
Arnold's another streamer. He's got the Jets in week one. Low-end streaming option. I think Ebron, I don't remember who the Steelers play in week one. I could look it up real quick, but I think his schedule is pretty good to begin the season.
I love that Tim Tebow is going ahead of him, Eric Ebron.
Well, I almost wonder if people are drafting Tebow just for fun.
Is there good luck
to be
player?
Silly.
Dawson
well, that's what
Knox,
you do at the end of the year.
Dawson Knox is kind of, I don't know. I mean, Buffalo, I've said this a lot. They talk so much about wanting to get production from their tight end. You're not going to find, when you look at the players in this range, I guess Cameron Brate is in this range, but he's the number 3 tight end. Like, you're just not going to find passing offenses this prolific, and the starting tight end is potentially Dawson Knox. So, no, I haven't drafted Dawson Knox, but that's the case.
Did we get to O.J. Howard yet?
We're not at O.J. Howard.
Did I skip him?
Yet.
No, we are at O.J. Howard. I think I accidentally skipped him. He's in between Jordan Akins and Cole Kmet.
How is Akins still getting drafted? That's wild. Ebron starts against Buffalo, by the way.
You need to be able to walk onto a football field to be in this group.
Would you take O.J.
Howard
Tebow's there. Or Dawson Knox?
Howard.
Would you take Howard or Kmet?
Kmet.
Right now, I think they both have a future Hall of Famer kind of getting in the way scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think I've Kmet one spot higher.
Jimmy Graham still on the Bears roster is just baffling to me.
If I was a Bears fan, I would be very upset about that with the good players they cut. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Veteran leadership. Answer honestly, do you think people are still listening?
Yeah.
The players that we're talking about right
people
now.
People want to find the next super sleeper at tight end. I guarantee you.
Adam, everybody waits to hear your endings, so they all stay around.
They're waiting to hear about Donald Parham.
Would you take Robitussin DM or Tylenol?
I would take Robitussin DM at about the 45-minute mark of the show.
I'd take about 15 minutes before
we
started. Oh, my
gosh. Adam's dying.
All right. I'm out of here, as you can tell. I need to go. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tight ends in the books. Next week, we'll give you an update on your news and notes on Monday, running backs on Tuesday and Wednesday, wide receivers on Thursday and Friday. We're going to have a mailbag that airs on Saturday, and the salary cap draft on Sunday. We'll have 7 episodes for you next week. Thanks to the crew. Talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.